Hello everybody and welcome back to the Preach What You Practice podcast with me, Josh Green. It's 2021. Can you believe it? We survived 2020. Oh man, it's so good to be here in 2021. It feels like this year, obviously with the vaccine and everything going on, that hopefully we're going to get back to some sort of normality. Obviously, there will be a few things of normal that we don't want anymore. You know, we've been grateful for what God's taught us in this last year that's gone by. But actually, I'm desperate to see my friends properly and travel the world again and see lots of beautiful people. So welcome back to the Preach What You Practice podcast. We preach what we live and we are learning how to get our walk to talk. Today, we're going to be looking at the topic for today, which is New Year, New Me, or not. I don't know if you've seen the popular phrase that flies around at New Year's Eve and the first few days of every new year, which is New Year, New Me. You know, you see it on the Fiat 500 girls' Instagram pages and Facebook and all that kind of stuff. New Year, New Me. But what does it really mean? You know, where does it come from? That's what we're going to be looking at today. I want to give a shout out to people who've been supporting me on Patreon, which Patreon, if you don't know what it is, it's just a way that I can get financial support to do what I'm doing at the moment and get the message of Jesus around the world, like we are doing with this podcast. People are listening in America, in Finland, in South Africa, in France, all over the world. It's just incredible. I feel so humbled that people are listening to me. But if you could please support me via Patreon, it's patreon.com/preachwhatyoupractice. The link is in the description to this podcast. You can find it really easily. And it would mean the world to me. There's all sorts of tiers on there of how you can support me. You can get an exclusive look at the book that I'm writing called Preach What You Practice, How to Get Your Walk to Talk. You can get chapter one right now if you become one of my supporters. You can also get exclusive video content, and there's many more things going on there. If you can follow me on Instagram as well, it's at Josh So Social. You can keep up to date with all the podcasts that I'm dropping. But let's look at this today. New year, new me, or not. What does it really mean? Where does it come from? And I think it comes from really from a retrospective sort of look back at all that took place the year before, and this sort of longing and desire for the year to come, the new year to be sort of different, and for me to be different. You know, it's this desire to do things differently in the new year. Many of you listening have probably got New Year's resolutions. You know, you hear a lot in the first couple of weeks of January about people's New Year's resolutions, diets, going to the gym. You know, and gyms are packed in January and then empty in February. So it kind of shows the fickle nature of New Year's resolutions, but also the fickle nature of this idea of New Year, New Me. But I'll get into that later. There's Vegan January. Some people call it Veganuary. I don't know if you've heard that. That's just been something that's just started recently, picking up the vegan diet in January. Some people do Dry January, so no alcohol in January. And you know, it gets me thinking, what is it about New Year that makes us want to change? Why do we just suddenly decide that on this sort of seemingly random day that we just decide, I'm going to completely change my life? You know, why don't we decide to live the life that we want right now? So today we're going to look at a popular passage of scripture to see how we can be better at living the life we want to live today. Instead of being reactionary, circumstantial, or driven by an ever-changing culture, let's be those who follow Jesus right now. Let's make that decision today. I always say being a Christian is not getting Jesus into your life, it's giving your life over to Jesus. Evangelists often say, ask Jesus into your life, and I know what they mean, and there's not necessarily anything inherently wrong with that, but the biblical picture of becoming a Jesus follower is to surrender your life to Jesus and give your life over to Jesus. And in fact, it's not our lives, is it? It's not your life. It's the life that was given to you by Jesus. So give our lives over to Jesus and let him rule and reign in your heart. So it's not new year, new me. It's give my new year and give myself to Jesus and allow him to change me, not into the new me that I want to be, but into the image of who Jesus wants me to be. If it is Jesus who rules my life, He created me, and he knows me intimately and deeply, more than I know myself, then he knows what's best for me. So it's not new year, new me. It's come to Jesus and be transformed. Mic drop moment. We're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. And I actually hear a lot of Christians talk about this verse. It's a brilliant verse. There's so much to it. We're going to be looking at it today. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. It's sort of a new year verse, isn't it, really? And we can say that about, I'm quite happy to say that about 2020, to be honest. 2020 is gone. 2021 is here. The old is gone. The new is here. And boy, I cannot wait for the day when we say the virus is gone. The no virus world is back. So this verse here is saying, you know, anybody who's in Christ becomes a new creation. The old is gone. The new is here. So really, a new year doesn't make a new you. It's Jesus who makes you new. Your own strength doesn't make you new. You know, you deciding because it's a new year, I'm going to become a new person. That doesn't make you new. It's Jesus who makes you new. Don't wait for a new year to change. Don't do it in your own strength and your own resolution. Ask Jesus to change you and mold you and make you into the person he wants you to be. You know, if there's one lesson I've learned in 2020 and at many times in my life, it's that when I make decisions apart from Jesus, it always turns out that I've learned the hard way. You know, I don't know about you, but it's the same thing every time. You know, I rush things or I take matters into my own hands, and then I look back and think, do you know what? If I'd just been a bit more patient, if I'd just taken this to Jesus, maybe it might have been a completely different story. I want to ask you this, a bit of a strange question, but it'll make sense when I'm finished. Have you ever been put to sleep for an operation at the hospital before? When I was 6 years old, my appendix blew up in my stomach. This is a true story. I had appendicitis, really bad, and I had a few doctors come round to the house when I was having stomach problems. Because I had a high pain threshold, they sort of thought there was nothing really wrong with me. So they were just assuring my parents, everything's fine, he's just got a stomach bug. And I literally remember the moment when I felt and heard audibly a sort of pop, like a booming pop from my stomach and the writhing pain. And I was rushed to hospital. And to be honest, I don't remember much beyond that point other than waking up in a lot of pain. And the doctor sort of saying, you nearly died. And 9 times out of 10 people die from this, but you managed to survive. And I didn't know what happened because I'd been put to sleep. And I'd obviously been put to sleep for the operation and I woke up better. Now, there was nothing of my strength that brought about me feeling better because I was asleep. I was powerless. But there was a greater power at work in me. How many of you know that when we're powerless, we don't have the strength, there is a greater physician, a greater one at work in us to do what needs to be done? Now, that's what's going on here when Paul is saying, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. It's not sort of saying, if you just raise your hand or you sort of say, yeah, I want to be a Christian now, that suddenly everything completely changes. But what it's saying here is, if you're in Christ, there's a greater person at work now in you that you don't need to, by your own strength or by your own power or by your own might, by your new year, new me resolution, make everything different. It's if you give your life to Christ, if you say at the start of 2021, I submit my life to Jesus, the greater one is at work in you. And the work that needs to be done in you, the stuff that you see that you're like, oh man, I want to see it change in this new year. I'm telling you, man, it's Jesus who can do that in you. Now, what's difficult about a lot of this is it seems like the church these days is really great at getting you sort of over the line, getting you to believe in Jesus, getting you to the place where you give your life to Jesus, and sort of teaching the basic fundamentals of beginning that journey and, you know, praying and here's a Bible and maybe there's a sort of small discipleship course after you make a decision. But after that, sometimes it feels like these days, you know, I grew up in a church when I was younger, and my dad was the pastor, and he sort of was very much trying to do this sort of thing that I'm talking about now. But it doesn't happen so much now, and I wonder how we can balance it together. There's not sort of a great deal of teaching on how, once you've made that decision to follow Jesus, how that outworks itself in your daily life. And this is what I'm all about with Preach What You Practice. You know, I'm trying to preach to you what I practice and how I do things like this, when I feel the desire for it to be sort of better, you know, that new year, new me vibe, when I feel that desire to be better and to improve myself, which is not inherently bad to do, I have some things that I do. And so that's what I want to teach you today, is how we can actually, you know, because I'm saying it's not all about this new year, new me, but I'm also saying when we feel that desire to improve ourselves, God can help us with that. But I'm telling you, it's in Jesus where we're going to see the change and when we're going to see the victory. So I'm going to try my best to unpack the Bible, because I really believe that the Bible contains the power and the transformation that can come about in the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit gives life to the words. As I said, I'm not perfect. And as I said before, I've learned a lot of this the hard way. But I remember reading Romans 8. It must have been about 10 years ago now. Obviously, I've read it many times since, and I read it many times before. But I remember reading Romans 8, and I'm going to unpack it a little bit now. And I just discovered so many keys in how to live out this transformed life in Christ. How do I become this new me? It's through Christ. How does that work itself out in my daily life? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Romans 8, the beginning of Romans 8, is really trying to get across to you. That, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us, how do we become this new me? It's through Jesus. We become a new creation. And then Romans 8 sort of tells us, how does that work itself out in our daily lives? It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at Romans 8, verses 1 to 17. It's a longer passage of scripture today, but honestly, you know, I was going to do 2 or 3 verses, and then every time I would write out the 2 or 3 verses, I was like, actually, could probably have verse 5 too. Oh, but verse 6 is really good. We should have that. And so is verse 8, 9, 10. There's just so much in it. And I had to stop myself at verse 17. And the narrative does change at verse 17 anyway, a little bit. So we're going to pick up on that. You know, I would really encourage everybody who's listening today to do this as well. But I remember once doing a verse-by-verse study of Romans 8. So every morning I would wake up and just read one verse of Romans 8, obviously starting at verse 1, going all the way through. I'd just read the one verse, and then I would look up what the individual words mean, and I'd write a little bit about it, and I would sort of pray about it, and I'd just be thinking about that verse all day. And I promise you, it's so rich. There are so many keys to help you in your life with Christ in Romans 8. You know, I honestly think, like, I remember a friend of mine, I spoke to him for a long time about Jesus, and eventually he gave his life to Jesus. And I gave him a Bible, and I was like, look, mate, like, you know, this is the next step. Like, let's read this together. And he sort of like was flicking through the pages like, where on earth do I start? And I pointed him to Romans 8. And I remember, you know, he just couldn't get past verse 1. Not to say that he didn't really read much. Honestly, he just would talk to me about verse 1 all the time. It says there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I think, you know, he'd just given his life to Jesus. He didn't really know Jesus at all before. He'd never been to church before. And he just couldn't get over the fact that in Jesus, shame and guilt and sort of the worry of trying to match up and be amazing and be awesome, all those things in Jesus are gone, you know. And we you know, we live in that culture, don't we? We live in a shaming sort of culture, a culture that guilts people into doing things. And a lot of us carry shame from bad things that we've done or bad things that have been done to us, but also even just like menial things, like maybe our Instagram doesn't have as many numbers as we want, or we don't feel like we look as good as we could, or we see a fitness blogger on YouTube and you think, oh, like I wish I was toned and ripped like that, or you know, you see somebody eating really well, or somebody having a really successful job or a successful life, and we sort of feel this self-condemnation of like, oh, I'm not really as good as I want to be. And that's what really fuels that new year, new me vibe. Like, oh yeah, 2021, I'm going to be better. 2021, I'm going to be going to the gym. 2021, I'm going to get that promotion. But really, we need to get hold of the fact, like my friend did, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You know, I could just camp out of that verse forever. You know, I feel like I could read Romans 8, verse 1, every single day and just feel supercharged. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let's pick it up too, because, and this is what it does. And this is why I like Romans 8, because it doesn't just make massive statements and leave you with it. It also explains how it works out, like I've been trying to get through to us today in this podcast. You know, how do we live out every single day this no condemnation in Jesus? Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. So we see here, first of all, what I was saying before, that it's Jesus who makes you new, and then it's the Spirit that carries you through day to day in your life and brings that freedom of living for Jesus every day. So it's Jesus who makes you new, and it's the Spirit that helps you outwork that decision to follow Jesus every single day. It's the Spirit that gives you the power, the Spirit that gives you the strength, the Holy Spirit. So let's pick it up at verse 3. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the flesh. So this is what I was saying before, that in our own strength, we're powerless. It was weakened by the flesh. God did by sending his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but what? According to the Spirit. So here it is. We don't live according to the flesh, what our bodies want, what our minds want, what our often sinful desires want. We have to judge those things by the Spirit of God. How does that sit with the Spirit of the Holy, you know, the Spirit that's living inside of me and what the Holy Spirit wants? How does that thing that I feel like my body wants and my flesh wants, how does that sit with what the Holy Spirit wants in my life? Well, we know that obviously the name for the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit is holy. So we know that living according to the Spirit means living holy lives. We also know that the Bible says that all scripture, all of the Bible, is God-breathed and inspired by the Holy Spirit. So we know also that living according to the Spirit means living by what the Bible says. But how else do we live according to the Spirit? Because Romans 8 talks about this, you know, we don't live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Well, how do we live according to the Spirit? Because I don't know about you, but most of my decisions on a daily basis, a lot of the time, seem to be governed by my flesh. And now I don't mean in a sinful sense, I mean in sort of the sense of if I'm hungry, you know, that's my body, my sort of flesh telling me I am hungry. And so, often we make decisions based on that. But what Paul is saying is we don't live according to the flesh. And obviously, when he uses the word flesh, he's not just fully meaning what I was saying about hunger and thirst. You know, he's talking about that inner hunger and thirst. But he's saying instead of that inner hunger and thirst that often goes so off track and leads us down negative roads, we need to live according to the Spirit. So how do we do that? Well, you know, Paul brilliantly gives us the answers. And, if there was two verses that I wanted to hone in on, it's Romans 8, 5 and 6, verses 5 and 6. Let's look at this. It's really, really rich. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. That last little section is the key that we need. New year, new me, no way. It's get Jesus, get transformed. And the way we do that is we have our mind governed by the Spirit, which is life and peace. So it's all in your head. What a surprise. It's all in my head. Sounds like a personal issue. It is. It's all in your head. Paul in this section uses the word mind so many times. And are you ready for a dad joke here? We need to be mindful of that. I'm sorry. I just had to do it. Paul uses the word mind so many times, and we need to be mindful of that. It's a battlefield of the mind. It's all about what's going on in our thoughts, in our minds, in our patterns of thinking. You know, Paul later says in Romans 12, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And that's what the word repentance means. It's a changing of mind. Metanoia is the Greek word. It means to change your mind. It's all about our mind, because if we're honest, and if you study sort of neurology, studying the brain, we know that it's the brain, it's the mind that controls what our body does. So it makes sense that Paul's sort of saying, look, it's the governance of your mind. And we need to have the governance be done by the Holy Spirit. So there's 3 points on how we set our minds on the Spirit that I just wanted to quickly go through. And then we'll unpack a little bit more of this amazing scripture just as we close for the next few minutes here. Point number one, and it's really simple, but spending time in the Spirit, spending time with Jesus, you know, reading the Bible, praying, singing songs about Jesus, listening to songs about Jesus, just listening out for God's voice. Is there anything you're saying to me, God? And just making space in the quiet to hear God. Meditating, you know, I think different religions and also just sort of even, you know, humanism and the culture that we live in right now sort of advocates for meditating. And I think there's a lot of Eastern practices about that, but also the Bible talks about meditating on the Bible, you know, chewing it over, really thinking into it. And, you know, the Bible tells us to meditate on God. So we wait on God, we take that time, and there's no reason why we should be hesitant to meditate just because other people do it. You know, going for a walk, running, really taking time and space out of our busy lives. Let's be honest, 20, you know, we're in a pandemic, we're locking down, we're not so busy anyway, but let's maybe take time from watching Netflix. Let's take some time out and space out of our busy lives and set our minds on God, what God wants, asking him how he wants us to move and live, asking him, you know, what are the spaces in my mind that need to start being governed by the Spirit of God? The next thing is really closely linked, you know, feeding our minds with the things of God. What do you feed your mind? Because what you feed your mind feeds your soul. Your mind controls your body. So if you feed your mind full of things that aren't of God, then those things can take over and consume your mind and your actions. And ultimately, your actions will follow what's going on in your mind. And what's going on in your mind will be governed by what you feed it. So if you feed it the Spirit, you know, Paul says here, the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So if you feed your mind with the Spirit, you'll find life, you'll find peace. And drastically, he says, the mind governed by the flesh is death. Wow. You know, what are we feeding our minds? And, you know, we do have to be careful, because I'm not saying it's this sort of Amish lifestyle where we cut off from all things of the world and, you know, all things that aren't, you know, Bible and aren't sort of Jesus. I'm not saying that all those things are evil. I think we have to be really sort of careful about that. You know, even, you know, the Bible is really clear that Jesus, you know, was the friend of sinners, and Jesus was at parties and all that kind of stuff. So I think what we have to do is have wisdom and stuff like that. But what I'm saying here with sort of feeding our minds with the things of God is I'm saying, look, we need to be careful what we're feeding our soul. So, you know, if we are only ever listening to, you know, music that's not created by Christians, for example, and it's sort of really trashy, like, lyrics and really degrading lyrics, if we're only ever listening to that stuff, like, we're filling our minds with stuff that's not of God, and then our minds become consumed by those lyrics and those thoughts, and they can really easily lead to those actions. Believe me, I'm talking from experience. And so what I really want to say is, let's be mindful, let's be careful of what we're feeding our minds. And the last thing is really simple. How often do we take it to God? Every decision that comes our way, try practicing bringing it to Jesus before anything else. Now, I know I'm always so quick and rash to not bring things to Jesus and just sort of do it in my own strength. But I always try desperately to be mindful of, what does God think about this? What does God want me to do? What would God have me say in this situation? How would God have me treat that person? Let's pick up Romans 8 in verse 7 on what happens when we don't sort of set our minds on the Spirit and are then ultimately left with setting our minds on what the flesh desires. This is what Paul says, verse 7. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You know, I love what Paul's saying here. He's so blunt. But also, even if you wanted to please God, it's not possible unless we live in submission, Holy Spirit of God in our minds. We're powerless without it. Now, why is that encouraging? I tell you why it's encouraging. Because I've tried to do this life on my own. I've tried to be that good person. I've tried to be excellent. I've tried to treat people super well. I've tried to be a Christian, a really good Christian, and read my Bible and pray in my own strength. And honestly, it's exhausting. We can't do it. We can't please God on our own. We can't please God doing things in our own strength. I've tried to be the best person I can be, but only Jesus brings that breakthrough. And the reason why I love it is because that is so freeing. Because when we let go and let God, we find freedom. It's no longer my strength, it's His strength. And when I'm weak, He is strong. I just love this passage in Romans 8. There's just so much here. It's so rich. You know, verse 9, I'm just going to pick it up just as I close right now. It says this: you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Verse 10, but if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of His Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not of the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you live by the Spirit and put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And I just want to finish on verse 14, 15, 16, and 17. Four power verses. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship and daughtership. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father, which can literally be translated Daddy. You know, it's so intimate. Verse 16, the Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are God's children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If we share in His sufferings, then we can share in His glory. Wow. It's not new year, new me, guys. It's come to Jesus and be transformed. How do we see that transformation power outwork in our lives? It's the Holy Spirit that makes it happen. How do I become this new me? Through Christ. How does that work itself out in my daily life? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Spending time with Jesus, feeding our minds with the things of God, and taking every situation to Jesus. Thank you so much for listening to the Preach What You Practice podcast today with me, Josh Green. Please support me on Patreon. It's patreon.com/preachwhatyoupractice. The link is in the description. Please subscribe to this podcast and follow me on Instagram at @joshsosocial to be updated with the latest podcasts. I drop podcasts every week on a Tuesday, 3 o'clock. I promise you, I will have a podcast for you come rain or shine. Even if my kids are in the background, I will have it for you. Please send me a little message of what you think. I'm trying to do them just a little bit longer because I know sort of people listen on runs and car journeys, so it's nicer to have a little bit longer podcast. And then the videos on YouTube, you can also check out. I kind of do a shorter, more succinct version. But yeah, thank you so much for listening to the Preach What You Practice podcast. I will see you next week. We're going to be looking at how to interpret difficult verses in the Bible. And then after that, I'm super excited to start a new series called Leadership L's, how to take our losses and turn them into lessons with some friends of mine who are great leaders. So be ready. Preach What You Practice podcast. We got a lot of content coming. See you next week for the next episode.